Hello and welcome to Eurovision in Isolation. My name's Phil Smith. We start with an announcement. Harry Graham has agreed to leave the podcast by mutual consent after getting his fact about Juventus wrong in the previous recording. We all apologise deeply and hope he'll never return.
If Alex left the podcast for every fact he got wrong, we've had a lot more Harry.
Hola, mi bebe bears, and welcome to Eurovision in Isolation. I'm Phil Smith, and we are finally on to 2023. Yahoo! I don't know why I did a wolf yowl. But there we go. We, and by we, I mean I, have selected 10 of the most interesting songs from 2023. And we're going to give them a bit of a preview for you so that you can sound educated when you come to have your drunken Eurovision party later this year. Presumably not in Liverpool, because who the fuck can get tickets? So joining me today, we have got four of the leading lights of Eurovision commentary. Pause for applause. We've got our very own spaceman, Mini Meyer.
Hi, Phil.
He's our statesman. He's Alex Smith.
Hello.
Running next week's Manchester Marathon in honour of Eurovision in Isolation podcast, he's our very own paceman, Dan Irvin.
Hello again, Phil.
Unless he gets cold feet, in which case Harry will have to run an under.
And he's our waste man, Simon Rickenbach.
Hi, Phil.
So, gentlemen, I sent you five songs from this year's Eurovision lineup. I will hasten to add at this point that these songs are not necessarily Bookie's favourites. There are some very highly rating songs that I've not included in our preview shows, only because they won't make for that interesting an episode. So this is the runners, riders and outsiders from this year's race. So shall we leap into it? Song number one comes from Norway. This is Alessandra with Queen of the Kings. She, Queen of the Kings. Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this? Welcome back.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Phil. Good to be back. So Norway, of course, as we know, have a well-established process through Melody Grand Prix. And we've covered it before. And once again, I think this process seems to have done a good job in finding a worthy contender for the Eurovision stage. Alessandra's performance is huge and powerful, and she does an incredible job, really, of bringing out the feminist vibes that really come through in the lyrics of the song. A bit in your face at times. The leading line of the chorus is, "Her name is She," and I assume it's S-H-E, not X-I, as in President Xi, after his long-awaited sex change. Take that, Taiwan. She has this huge stadium-busting power in her performance, and it reminded me an awful lot of Belgium's Laura Tessero, who, of course, we picked out as the winner of our previous tournament. If I can be critical, the staging is a bit basic. There's a big light show with some light batons, but it's not going to stick in the memory for its visuals. But overall, I think a very good, strong contender from Norway.
Alex, do you like Queen of Kings?
I quite like it. I think when listening to it, I kept asking myself, well, what is it? Because I sort of was thinking, it's not really anything at the moment. It's not really a bop. It's not really a ballad. I kind of settled on its being an empowering sea shanty, which I can see it kind of being top 10 on that basis. Also, one of the lyrics stuck out with me as being a bit stupid, which was, they broke out the cage and threw away the key. The key, once you've broken out, presumably is redundant. I didn't really like that lyric very much. But yeah, it's pretty good, but I couldn't help getting hung up that it just sounded a bit like a sea shanty.
Mini.
I really liked it. Sea Shanty is fairly accurate. I think it's supposed to be like a Nordic theme, obviously with that national identity hook. Alessandra, or Ariana Scandi, as I call her, is just a bit like Kate Blanchett in Thor Ragnarok with the cape. I like the whistle tone scream she does, the electro Viking sound of it, I think is quite fun. Overall, I think it's anything but low key. Low key.
No one say anything. Let them simmer in that one. I probably might have given this my 12 from today's episode. I'm quite fond of this. Yes, there's some silly lyrics, and yes, the light waving doesn't really pay off big time, but I think on the balance of things, it's one of the stronger songs, certainly from this episode, and if not the entire Eurovision season. I think what she does have is undeniable charisma. I think more so than a lot of performers that you get at Eurovision. Maybe that sort of Sam Ryder level of charisma and performance. I think she's compelling is probably the word I'm looking for. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for listening in, as the UK is just about to host. There's about 40 episodes for you to go back and listen to. They won't help you for this year's Eurovision, but they will help you to explain us, if nothing else. But as a something of a format point, we do give 12 points to our favourite song from the episode and nil points to our least favourite song from the episode. So a quick shout out. Would anyone like to give this song their 12 points?
Yes, Phil. There's no way this isn't getting my dues.
Do you think if we tallied it up, how many times we've made the Norway joke over the episodes?
Mini would be leading the pack in uses of the Norway, no way joke.
Every time Norway's in, I definitely say it.
Nil point. No? Okay. Net positive. That's a good result for Alessandra. Let's play a little bit of a prediction game then, shall we? Dan, do you want to give us a prediction for this?
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's got quite a few elements there of a good song. I'm going to go with 8th.
Take me higher. I'm going 3rd. I've probably got a slight advantage over Dan in that I've listened to quite a lot of the songs this Eurovision, and there's a lot of shit.
Yeah, to be fair, after I said 8th, I'm thinking that means I'm going to listen to 7 songs better than this. And, I don't know, maybe that's not quite right.
And how many of the ones today, Dan, do you think we've reached that accolade?
Somewhere between 3rd and 8th. That's the Eurovision in Isolation range for this song. Song number 2, and we swing around to France. This is La Zara with Evidemment. La Zara there, sounding like the French version of the chain fashion shop. La Zara is an interesting character. Not long after being announced as the French entry this year, she announced her retirement from singing, which was interesting, given that she was going to be singing in a good few days' time. This song has an intangibly French element. It's not just the French language, but I think it's the sultry tones, even the disco beat that comes in doesn't really throw you away from that French feeling. The songs are very lyrical and French and poetic. I'm not sure they necessarily...
Did you just want to cut to us? So far you've described her as interesting and the song is very French. In the GCSE coursework, you've made 3 points, but you've managed to eke it out over 600 words. Perhaps you might like to cut to the panellists to see if we can add anything else.
I'll be honest, I've got a great intro prepared for Iceland. But unfortunately, I allocated that to Alex. So go fuck yourselves.
All this is getting cut.
Well, I was just going to say, if I read you these lyrics, how would you describe them? Well, in my hell's garden grow flowers I water of my dreams, of my tears. Go on, give us some GCSE English analysis of what those lyrics might mean, Alex.
Well, those lyrics sound very interesting and very French, Phil, crucially.
Well, I've given a thorough and excellent introduction to that song, so I'm going to come to Dan.
Well, you know, when this song opens up and I'm there and I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, here the fucking French are again with the stupid fucking mopey fucking shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. Did I use enough?
You're not doing any business deals with anyone in France.
Jesus, soon, I was about to think, guys, we're really starting to meander here. Someone's got to reel it back in. Well done, Dan. We're going to get cancelled, aren't we? We've already made a joke about President Xi becoming a woman. And
if we were being cancelled, we were going to have been cancelled before now.
But, you know, it does, like, that's how it starts. But then the beat drops. It gets, you know, quite different, quite unique.
Interesting, so, you know, you might say.
Interesting, yeah. That's a good word. I'd use that to describe this song. But, you know, it's still ultimately very pretentious. It reminded me a bit of if, you know, we can imagine Lady Gaga trying out for the part of Edith Piaf in some Inglourious Bastards-style war movie where they have to go into Paris. And there is something like that in Inglourious Bastards, but you get the point. It's all very over-the-top cool, but, you know, not my cup of tea.
Fair. I think Lady Gaga would play a great Edith Piaf. Simon, que vous décidez à la chanson pour la France? Mademoiselle.
Bien sûr. So it's nice to see France getting their mojo back, isn't it? There was just so many years where it felt like they'd given up with sort of averagely sung, silly songs, or even worse, the half-hearted, almost embarrassed English songs. So I like this one. It feels confident. It does build on Barbara Pravi. It gives me a hint of Cornelia Jacobs in Hold Me Closer. My one comment on the whole visual of the thing is that the thing she's wearing on her head, it reminds me of the scene in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is saying,
since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun. I will do the next best thing. Block it out.
And he gets this, like, big, giant sort of sun-blocking shield that forces Springfield into darkness. And that is what it looks like she's wearing on her head for me.
Alex, je voudrais une table près de la fenêtre.
The French, I think, are really proud of this one, and it's quite easy to see why. As an entry, it captures, I think, so much of what the French would be sort of proud about their kind of culture in a song, with the kind of traditional French kind of warbler, chanteur style. It captures a bit of vulnerability. It captures a bit of confidence in equal measure. It captures that kind of jazzy lounge music style that is sort of quintessentially French. It's really difficult to do analysis. Every time I say something, you pull that face, Phil.
I'll cover my face so you can analyze in peace.
You kind of feel like, if you know, évidemment sounds quite, that's like, oh yeah, that's pretty pleasing to hear. And then you kind of hear obviously obviously doesn't quite work.
12 and nil points. Any 12 points for Lazara?
Yes, Phil, I'd like to give this my 12 points. I can imagine this lady smoking a Vogue while singing this sort of jazzy, funky number. For that reason, I'm going to give it my 12.
Bien. Nil point, s'il vous plaît. Non. Évidemment. Would anyone like to predict where this will place?
I can see this being a jury vote winner, but not carrying as much with the televote. So might slip as low as 12th.
Minnie.
6th. Working backwards from Barbara Pravi being 2nd, sort of down a few notches from there.
Yeah, I'm in the same field as Minnie. I would put this down about 5th, I think. Right then, on to song number three. And this one comes from Iceland. The singer is Dilja Pettersdóttir. And her song, Power. Alex, do you want to talk us through this?
And interesting to note that Dilja is wearing Michael Ball's suit from last week for this particular entry. So having me mention that they don't make suits like that anymore, evidently they do. Dilja, if you're listening, do get in touch. Let me know where you're buying them, either off the rack or tailored. Dilja's kind of trancy pop entry for Iceland this year is a bit of a journey. We sort of start off with the kind of melodic whispering, almost kind of like a dream sequence as she lies on her back in the middle of the stage, to a full-on kind of rave in the final chorus. It's a bit of a bop, but I think it's ultimately let down a little bit by some lackluster lyrics, and at times let down by her delivery, which for me, she can't quite decide if she wants to kind of be this kind of twee and vulnerable onstage performer that kind of has a kind of goofy charm to someone that's confident and full of bravado. See the high kick with about 30 seconds to go in the song. I think throughout it threatens to be a stadium banger and a bit of an anthem, but I think it's held back. It's not unenjoyable, but also it's not enjoyable. I don't think there's enough for me to get enough votes from either jury or televote. I think this will be right hand side.
Yeah, I broadly agree with Alex. I just found it a bit sort of neither here nor there, really, isn't it? It's like generic lady feels powerful after a break-off, walks around the stage incredibly awkwardly kicking at things. It's not massively technically accomplished. And it actually made me wonder whether they need to look at the backing tracks again, because there's a lot of vocal support on there covering up some of the cracks in this performance for me.
I can't disagree with either of your comments thus far. Dan, did you like this one?
No. end analysis. No. It's like the opposite of the last act, to be honest, because it's not unique at all. It's completely just, we've seen it all before. And to be honest, that's not the end of the world. You can get by with doing that. But it's kind of a bit like doing the technical challenge or bake-off. If you're going to go for one of those things that everybody knows how to do, you've got to absolutely nail it. And she just doesn't do it at all. The movement around the stage is shambolic. The singing is all over the place. The lyrics are terrible as well, as has been pointed out. So, yeah, it's not a good one for me.
Minnie, round us up.
Yeah, I have to agree with previous comments about Iceland, or dry Iceland, as I think they should be known. Given how many gallons of smoke appear to have been, I mean, it's the only bit of staging they've really opted for is just to empty the freezers in an Iceland onto the stage. Iceland, the supermarket being where she seems to have bought the suit as well, unfortunately. Sorry, Alex, I know you were saying you like it. I like that they've spangled it, but it is just a kind of oversized grey pinstripe suit. She looks a bit like Anne from Arrested Development, a character whose sole characteristic is that nobody remembers who she is. So that's fitting, unlike the suit.
Look, Peter will be proud of her. Peter being her father, yeah. That's actually pretty good. I might have to stay in now, Minnie.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I did chuck this in as one that I thought you might take to, but clearly not. I must say it's not doing well in the odds. It is officially 25th in the odds, but pretty much tied with everything from 25th down to 37th. So that's firmly in that non-qualification position at the moment. Doesn't sound like I've got any douze pois coming for Dilja, unfortunately. Anyone want to give this their nil pois?
Yeah, I'd like to give it my nil, please, Phil. I think there's a lot of songs this year by lone female artists, and this one does not stand out in that crowd.
It's a nil pois from me as well. I think, unfortunately, Phil, this one looks set to flop in the semi-finals and be forgotten and hold so little value that it won't even be dredged up by a future semi-popular Eurovision podcast.
I'm going to give it my nil pois as well. I think once the smoke has cleared, no one's going to remember this number.
Alex, for the house?
No.
The podcast will have to end.
Yeah, that's, if we ever get a bingo, that's the final episode, I think.
Straight into the end credit music.
I am amazed. I am amazed because I've heard song five. I'm wondering if three of you haven't.
I thought that was going to be the bingo. Genuinely, I thought this might be the one. But then there you go. Three of you have slapped the nils out for song three.
I think boring is always going to be less popular than insane.
So, predictions. Minnie, where do you think Iceland's going to go? I should say, before I say that it is in possibly the easier of the two semi-finals. Do you think it qualifies?
No.
Okay. Alex?
No.
Dan?
No, not at all.
Simon?
I say it squeezes in, but then 26th and last.
Right. Song number four, then. Song number four comes from Finland. Now, I have to get my pronunciation exact here because this one's tricky. There's a lot of umlauts going on.
You're always very delicate with pronouncing overseas names.
Yeah, famously.
Why change the habit of a lifetime now?
This is, I believe, Kariya with Cha-Cha-Cha.
Do you want to have another go?
Cha-Cha-Cha. Simon, I gave this one to you to summarise, I believe.
Yeah. You a pina colada man, Phil?
Not really.
Sometimes you get given a song and you listen to it and you're worried you just won't have anything to say. And then sometimes you get one like this and it's just a real treat. Visually, our man Kariya, he's appearing in the latest kids' toy for this year. To go alongside, you may remember the Hulk smash fists. Well, now they've made the Hulk smash biceps. Unfortunately, they're yet to getting around to the Hulk smash torso. So the guys had to cover himself in baby oil to kind of bring out the full effect. And then he's borrowed some trousers from Bowser in the new Mario movie. And then he's dancing around with some pink highlighters. Perhaps the strangest part of the song from a visual perspective is the human centipede homage that occurs two-thirds of the way through as the four highlighters get down on their hands and knees and crawl along while he rides them. Hourly, it's a two-for-one. The first half of the song is the kind of classic Finland hardcore number, and then the second is Fresher's Club Night. I never think those kind of mid-song vibe changes work that well, but this is one of the better executions of the concepts. It's unique in my memory for being the only song from Finland I can remember that's in Finnish. Certainly the recent entries are all English. But the performance is perhaps best summarized by a quote from the man himself. The good thing about the Finnish selection contest is that it's not the best singer or rapper that usually wins.
Okay, Minnie, you're wearing green. Kindred spirit here.
I actually wrote down the human Sventipede, but Sven isn't a Finnish name, it's a Swedish name, so I'm not going to say that. I think he looks a bit like Calamity James from the Beano from the neck up, and like the Michelin man has fallen into a vat of acid from the neck down. It's, I guess, like the cha-cha slide, but
cha-cha ride.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's a dance you can do at home, providing you've got four friends willing to let you ride around on the back.
Alex.
This is a really interesting one, and as Simon says, occasionally you get you get one that's just so bonkers, there's so much to talk about. You staging and aesthetics wise, you kind of have these cruise ship performers landed in a junkyard surrounded by wooden pallets that then do this kind of ballroom slash screamo fusion, which, you know, Eurovision is the medium to try new things and be adventurous and be creative. And I was initially thinking, God, this just doesn't work. And then it kind of grew on me. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe this might work. And then they did the human centipede. And then there's this outrageous keychain to this dance number. And I thought, a little bit like, completely different, but I remember one of the first songs we did was Stefan Raab, Vada Hadi Duda Da. I was just, initially it was kind of like, fucking hell, this doesn't work. And then halfway through, you're like, oh my God, it does. This is brilliant. And yeah, it kind of works. And I really liked it. And it's fun. And it's just completely wacky. I love that they're all kind of dolled up to the nines in the ballroom style, but surrounded by wooden pallets. I noted at the end that Korea kind of, even though he's dressed up in the ballroom style, you've got to be, you know, you've got to really look the part. You've got to be absolutely, you know, dressed up to a T. Towards the end, he's like leathering the stage with his fists. I don't really know, in anger or delight, but he looks like he's absolutely knocking 10 shits out of someone in the last few frames. It's just a complete juxtaposition and it's kind of brilliant. And I really liked it.
I think, weirdly, juxtaposition is what makes this work. The music video for this doesn't have the dancers. And I watched that one first and I was there like, what is the fuss about this song? It's not anything. And then you add in the sort of perma-smiling ballroom dancers and it suddenly becomes this whole other animal that's just totally bizarre. You know, this is winning the Eurovision meme contest when it comes to it later this year. You know, this is almost certainly going to be the song that people are tweeting the most about. Whether that's a metric that you want to judge songs on, I don't know. But it's noteworthy and you have to give it that. Shall we move on to douze and nil points? Would anyone like to give Korea their douze points?
I'll give Korea the douze points. Great fun.
I've got to say, I'm surprised by that, Alex. I think it's a good song, but I didn't think it was the kind of song that you'd give your 12 points to be honest.
Look, I'm difficult to predict. I'm not. Last week, I gave my 12 points to an 80s song.
nil points. There's not a lot of nil points left out there. Alex, are you going to double up and give it both?
No, I'm not Simon, who I think is the only one to have ever done that.
Yeah. Predictions then. I think this is one that you would have to say is quite hard to predict.
I'm going to go out and say this wins. That I think it will be a two-horse race between this song and the song that we're doing next week.
Yeah.
I won't say which. And this being a bit of a protest vote song, maybe. And potentially pipping next week's song.
Okay. I would say, looking at the odds here, it's very much looking like a one horse race currently, which, as everyone knows, isn't the best viewing experience for people, but certainly could surprise. Let's leave that there. We move on, as we always must, to song number five. I feel bad for having inflicted song number five on you. And then I have to remember, it wasn't me, it was Croatia. Croatia have gone out on a limb, shall we say that? This is song number five today. It is from the band Let's Three. And the song is called Mama SC. Mini, you've got the dubious honour of introducing this one for us.
Thanks, Phil. Rammstein are back with a Croatian spin on an old favourite, Dubrovnik. Yes, Forget Romania's dubstep vampire. Here comes Croatia's goose step glampires.
That is good.
Thank you. Delivering a camp send up of military tyranny as a band of dragged up officers and someone dressed as Lenin, I think, wield missiles and electric guitars, performing what I can only describe as Reich said Fred. It's different, it's energetic, it's political, it's confusing, but unfortunately, its military satire does cross over hard into the realm of musical torture.
I can get on board with military satire, but yes, musical torture, I will also agree with. Dan, what did you make of this one?
Well, I'm getting the sense that there's a wide opinion here from the panelists that I think is kind of missing the point. I think this is very Eurovision. This is it's absolutely bonkers, similar to what we have from the previous act, but I'd say even more so. It's turned up to 11. It's bonkersness. And obviously you picked up on the military stuff, but I think more than that, it's anti-war, it's anti-Russia. And these are topics that are very, obviously very popular at the moment, and I think are potentially going to get them a lot of votes. I thought it was quite amusing in some of the things it did. The use of the missiles as sort of phallic symbols. I enjoyed that. The weird costume change, sort of pretend nudity, pretend in question marks is never really quite clear. I loved it. I watched it and I thought, that's brilliant. I enjoyed that. I don't think it's going to win, but I'm going to stick by it. I think this is a good song.
It is good to hear that someone enjoyed this. Clearly, they enjoyed it in Croatia. It was voted to win. Simon, do you agree with the Croatian people and Dan? Or do you have independent thought?
I agree with Dan, apart from the bit I disagree with Dan, so he said it was a good song. I think it's a good bit. I won't be, you know, when it comes on the playlist in the car, I won't be bumping to this. I'll be reaching for the skip button. But as an entertainment piece, I thought it was entertaining. I mean, each of the singers has got a rose shoved up their ass, and the tractor in the song is presumably a reference to the Belarusian president who bought Putin a tractor for his birthday. Like, the whole thing to me, it speaks to, like, I think it's more zeitgeisty than the hand washing thing last year that came fifth was. I didn't like that. I thought it was weird and, you know, not very, I didn't find it very entertaining. Whereas this, I thought it was just more out there. It reminded me, the song it reminded me of the most weirdly was LT United. It gave off that kind of energy. I think, yeah, so I think I can see it doing well. Important also to remember, no jury votes in the semi-finals this year. So there's nothing holding this back. It could well make it to the final thing and be, you know, exposed to the Eurovision public. And I use exposed with the pun intended.
I agree on the LT United vibes. I quite like LT United and I'm not particularly fond of this song. So that's where the parallels end for me. Okay, Alex.
Yeah, I appreciate the anti-war messages. I mean, when translated, it's just repetition of the words tractor, 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 mummy, 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 war, 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 ad infinitum throughout the song. So as a kind of anti-war message, I don't know if it's especially complex or clever, really. Appreciate the kind of camp commandant village people vibe that they've got. That's quite kind of fun. I like the faux nudity. That's kind of fun. But honestly, it's one of the worst things I've ever heard, musically speaking. You know, you listen to it with earplugs in or don't listen to the audio and you're kind of like, whoa, what the fuck is this? This could be brilliant. And then you just hear it and it's just honestly fingers down the cheese grater, like nail through a thumb kind of level of pain. When we do this, I sometimes reference, this is going to go on the Eurovision playlist. And as Simon just hinted then, is this going to come on in the car? The answer is no. This is just, there's no, this is going to end up completely at the bottom of you know, my personal Eurovision playlist. No chance. It's just, it's awful. It's horrible.
Were you deliberately mixing your metaphors there?
I don't know.
Do you think fingers down a cheese grater is a genuine phrase?
Imagine bare fingers going down a cheese grater and the pain that that would cause.
Sure.
I know fingers down a chalkboard is screechy. I didn't want to portray that. Didn't want to portray that because it's not a screechy.
You thought this is worse than fingers down a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Okay. I might surprise you in saying that actually in the Croatian final, it dominated both the jury and the televote.
Who's on the
Certainly
jury?
Surprised me. I'll be honest, I haven't listened to the other 17 songs that were in that final, but Jesus, how bad must they have been? I will be interested to see if the EBU lets them bring out massive missiles on stage. That feels potentially political.
Well, I mean, beyond the missiles, I kind of felt like their get-up in general was very suggestive, and I did initially think, I wonder if this will get through. I couldn't, you know, there's been some sort of suggestively dressed, and I mean that in not in the dressing provocatively, people dressed in the past, but you know, even just the way they all dressed up, that kind of camp commandant, I don't know, would that be all right? You know,
it's interesting. I think we're in a position potentially where the Russian position with the war in Ukraine is so universally disagreed with that it's deemed permissible, maybe. But I would have certainly thought it would have crossed some boundaries for the EBU.
Last year they had a guy riding around in his pants on a mechanical bull. Like,
was that political though, Simon?
Yeah.
They don't have rules on taste and decency, although they did censor from Latvia from using the word pussy. But I mean, it's not that I'm sat here disagreeing with the sentiment. It's just I'm a little bit surprised that it's a political slant. It's able to get away with it. But there we go. It's not doing particularly well in the odds. Shall we say that? It's down in 17th place overall in the odds at the moment. But that would suggest it would qualify. And as Simon correctly points out, no juries in the semi-finals, which may well benefit songs like this one. I don't believe there's any douze-poise still out there, but just on the off chance that I've miscounted, would anyone like to give this their douze-poise?
Yes, Phil, you've miscounted. As I said, I love this. I thought it. I'll admit that the song part of it, and it's a Eurovision Song Contest, I get that, but the song part of it is not particularly good. But I think as an act, it was exceptional. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the anti-Russia message, and I think it really would have been entertaining to have the Russians along to see what they would have made of that.
Dan, I think you're continuing your legacy of interesting douze-poix picks. Do you know what? It's not your worst. We still stand by that on again, off again is your worst call, but we'll add it to the list.
The playlist of Dan's douze-poix, which is the same as Alex's never listening to this playlist.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, that's not a playlist you want to hype yourself up to in the run-up to Eurovision. I'm almost tempted to listen through all of our podcasts again just to get the Dan's douze-poix playlist.
Well, there's a spin-off series for all of us with Dan's douze-poix, Phil pronounces overseas names, Alex makes ham-fisted attempts at metaphor, and I think we could call it the This Song Is A Bit IKEA podcast. Simon...
things that he thinks he can do better than the people.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Me saying Norway over and over again.
Yes, you making shit puns followed by you saying, that's not going in.
It should just be, a cut of me making jokes followed by what actually happened, rather than with the laughter I put in.
The laughter track that comes in.
Right, nilpois. Alex, I think you've still got yours.
Yeah, nilpois. Honestly, awful.
Predictions. Do we think this cuts through? Now, bear in mind, as I have alluded to, there is quite a lot of ironic shit this year. If I just flick through the list, the people sending vaguely ironic songs, Malta, Serbia, Portugal, to an extent, Israel, Czech Republic, Czechia, Romania. There's a lot. There are a lot. So do you think this one is going to cut through, Dan?
I thought it was really interesting when you were saying about the odds earlier, because this is the kind of song, the dark horse, it's the wild card, right? You can picture a world in which this is just coming up every time. It's douze-poix, douze-poix, douze-poix. And suddenly you're like, oh, Jesus, why didn't we see this before? However, I'm not actually quite back in that. I'm gonna be bold, and I'm gonna say second.
Holy, you're not gonna back it, and then you give it second.
I don't think it's gonna win.
Holy shit!
Second. That's big. That go big or go home. There is a man that doesn't mind. You know, if he's completely wrong, he is happy to go for it.
Dan, yeah. Mate, if you've called that, I will fly myself over to Ireland and give you a hearty handshake.
Is that like a Paul Hollywood handshake, but in in Eurovision terms?
He was offered 20p last week.
I wanted to sum up to Dan that I would be very impressed and would want to congratulate him in some way were his prediction to come true. I didn't want to say, like, I'm going to bet my house on the fact that it's not that. I'm not being silly. But I would come over just to give him a handshake. And, you know.
No, that's not silly at all.
Alex, where do you think this will come?
I think this could develop a bit of a head of steam, make it out the semis. And it's one of those songs that you can hear Graham Norton saying in the VT intro beforehand. There's been a lot of chatter. I'm not going to do the accent. There's been a lot of chatter about this one. You know, there's been a lot of people like it. A lot of people talking about it. Let's see what it's all about. And it's kind of like every year there's a couple of those entries where he says something like that and you're like, oh, this is going to be wacky. And I think it's one of those songs that could build up a head of steam in the week leading up and could be top 10.
Put a number on it.
Second. I think maybe seventh.
I disagree with you all fundamentally.
I hate it. I gave it my nil. I hate it.
I know. But I actually don't see this.
Serbia got fifth last year for something.
It's not Serbia. Awful. This is not as good as Serbia.
Was Serbia good?
Yeah, better than this.
Can we listen back? Minnie, can you cut in our analysis of Serbia from last year? I feel like we all hated Serbia, didn't we?
This is the absolute worst thing that I've ever heard. I just don't think I'll remember how it goes next year when we come to stick on the Eurovision playlist from last year. This will come up and I just won't. I'll be like, oh, which country was this and what were they doing? I don't think it will make it out the semi-final. I just think it's all round not going to do that well. Not going to do that well. Not going to do that well.
The Nostradamus of Eurovision. The Nostradamus of Eurovision. The Nostradamus of Eurovision. Lisa needs
braces. And well done to me.
Well done to me.
Well done to me.
Well done to me.
There we go. That's episode one, but I have to admit, I have left some of the gems of 2023 over into episode two. So next week, you can expect to hear a returning champion, the campest thing to have been on the Eurovision stage in a very long time, and some strong Yoki Papai vibes. So with those promises, I should stop recording before Minnie has too much shit to wade through.
Play a game of Coke or Stout.
No.
Surely.
Coke or Stout. That's got to be a Stout.
You'd be banged up for not having a head in Ireland, surely.
Really? A strong Ribena. Well, we'll find out at the end of the podcast.
Based on how inebriated or not I am.